Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit. Bandwidth for All About Android is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by Grasshopper. Stay connected and run your business from your mobile phone with Grasshopper. To save $50 on your order, visit trygrasshopper.com/twit. Hello and welcome to another episode of All About Android. This is episode 285, recorded on Tuesday, September 27th, 2016. We're your weekly source for the latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm Jason Howell.
I'm Ron Richards.
And I'm Thorne Dial.
Yes, you are.
I had the spooky, scary voice. You have the like really Batman. Raspy Batman.
I'm Batman.
Slash spooky, scary voice. Ron just had Ron.
Just the voice.
It's okay.
I'm not high. I don't have anything to hide. Okay.
Me on the other hand.
I'm not hiding the fact that Matteo Doni is here sitting at the table
on our side of the world.
I'm at the table again.
Yes.
Thanks for having me back.
Absolutely. It's always a pleasure. I know we're getting you now, and then I think in another month you're going to be in town. It's like you almost live here now. Practically.
Almost there, yeah.
I just want to say I really appreciate, too, that you dressed for the part. You're wearing the Pliny the Elder shirt.
Yeah, he's a big beer fan. He's a beer guy.
I don't use Untappd, but I do enjoy a good beer.
Excellent. You can make your own social network.
You just need to put a hoodie on him, and you can drop him a Zeitgeist, and he'll be fine.
Exactly.
I'll go with you. I love Zeitgeist.
Just a Bay Area local right there.
I've not been to Zeitgeist in a really long time. Need
it's
to go back.
It's the exact same. Yeah,
exactly. Just that's either a good or a bad reason to go back. We're all stoked to get you here. We got a lot to talk about this week. This has been quite a doozy, and I'm so excited for the event next week. Right. We're going to be discussing everything we think we know ahead of next week's hardware event. That's next Tuesday before the show. So we're going to be loaded next week, knowing exactly all this information.
So
then.
Loaded.
And maybe we'll be loaded with beer too. I don't know. Snapchat's successor to Google Glass, if you could call it that. We have to talk about that, of course. Allo for smart messaging released literally maybe an hour or two after last week's show. Got to talk about that. The Huawei Nova Plus, the Redmi 3S, the Obi World Phone MV1, and a whole lot more. Before we go anywhere, we just have to say happy birthday, Google. Apparently, Google is now 18 years old. Google just graduated high school.
Google
moving
can
out. Google can vote.
Can enroll in the military.
Google can smoke in some states.
Yes.
Do you enroll in the military?
Yeah.
Enlist.
Is that the right verb? Enroll in college.
There we go.
They meant enlist.
Who's the writer at the table?
You know what?
All I'm going to say is, at the ripe age of 18, Google's good at this cyber thing.
Yeah, Google. Yeah. Very nice. Google knows what it's doing when it comes to the world of cyber. I didn't even know that was a term until last night. Again, I've forgotten. I flushed that term out of my brain.
It was a term from 1998, Jason.
Yes, and now it's back.
Did you guys know NSYNC made a song about...
No, but continue.
It's called Digital Get Down.
Really?
Yeah.
And was it about cyber?
It's about cybering.
Oh, Jesus.
I mean, it makes sense.
Sorry,
it's about this. I mean, that's the category of time we're talking about.
I was listening to it on the way
here
last week.
That is crazy.
It's a really good song for pop music.
Oh, I'm sure it is. Hey, Brian, you've got plenty of ammo. Let's dive into the news.
It's Google's 18th birthday, and we're all looking forward to having a beer with it. When it turns 21, it's time for Android news.
I'm thinking it might be good to celebrate the 18th birthday with a nougat cake.
Nougat
cake?
It's like a chewy cake.
Yeah. I don't think it would be very good, but you know it would be applicable.
You know what I keep thinking about, though? I keep thinking about the little, there were these nougat crackers that I ate, like, after the show, so it wasn't on the show, and they had, like, green onions in them, and they were savory, and then, like, a nougat center. And they were actually really good.
That doesn't sound good. It might be good. I would have to be convinced to try it, but...
Okay, well... They're at your desk. No,
they're in that bag full of nougat stuff.
During the ad, you
apparently I didn't eat the ones with onions in them, and I think I'm okay with it.
Good, actually.
I think I'm okay with it. All right, you've got the top.
Florence.
I do have the top. That's right. And then I said I studied the script before the show, and look at me now. Completely distracted by Nugget. But you know what else we should be distracted by, for real, though, is this apparent Pixel 3 laptop that's apparently coming, that apparently Android Police had apparently rumored about. Apparently.
They were rumoring all over the place.
They were rumoring all over the place, y'all. So apparently this Pixel 3 laptop is scheduled. It's called Andromeda, which I was sort of pronouncing as Andromeda yesterday.
The OS is Andromeda.
Yes.
The underlying OS.
The OS is called Andromeda, and it may finally be that perfect marriage of Chrome OS and Android that's been sort of rumored about for the last year or so. You guys remember that last year Wall Street Journal broke the story that this was coming, and then, you know, immediately, I believe it was Sundar that turned it down, that shot it down. So this is not happening. This is not what's going on.
But then at Google I.O., we saw the Android apps coming to Chrome OS, and we're like, oh, maybe this is the thing that the Wall Street Journal was talking about.
And I believe at the time, even when they shot it down, we said, yeah, they're shooting it down in the short term, but they left it open for the long term, right? Mm-hmm. And that was clear. So I'm not surprised by this at all.
I am not either, actually, because, I mean, companies typically will try and do anything to try and, you know,
make
push
money.
The news.
Push the news.
Push the news until they're ready.
Yeah, I see what you mean. Yeah.
Until they're ready.
Not reveal too much too soon.
Precisely. Yeah. I don't know where my words are today.
You're fine.
But I do have some words about the Pixel 3 that is apparently slated for release next year in Q3 2017. Apparently, it will have a 12.3-inch display. It will run on the Intel M3 or i5 core mobile processors. Might have 32 gigs to 128 gigs of storage, sort of on point with what's happening with other, like, ultrabooks that are on the market, sort of other two-in-ones. Apparently, it might cost around $799 with a stylus that's sold separately.
So it'll have stylus and Wacom support.
Precisely.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you think, Mateo?
Well, they're definitely making a play for the creative types, if that's the case.
I mean,
or productive types.
Productive types, creative types.
It could be productively creative. Well,
is this potentially Google trying to take aim at the Surface? Probably. I mean, because I feel like the Microsoft Surface is the only tablet with a style. Well, maybe the iPad Pro, I guess, too, the enormous newspaper side iPad.
Yes.
But the Microsoft Surface is selling well, and people are using it. Yes. Artists love it. I know a lot of artists who use the Surface when they go on the road and that sort of thing.
Huawei has the MateBook, which comes in this size, actually, and has sort of these similar specifications, but that runs Windows 10.
Samsung has also been doing the Note series of devices with pressure-sensitive pens. So it's nothing particularly new, but in a Pixel form factor, Google may put their own spin on the
on
with
the Android Mida. I like to call it Andromeda.
And what's interesting beyond that is that some of the tipsters are saying, have told, I think it was 9to5 Google, that this was actually more targeting like Mac Pro or MacBook Pro users.
Interesting.
So it's not necessarily meant to be a tablet replacement, but meant to be a fully fledged kind of like Google laptop OS environment based on Android, integrating the great parts of Chrome OS, which, I mean, yeah, bring it on. And I mean, and I think the question beyond that is, what is the end game for Andromeda? Is this just a way to make a really nice two-in-one device? You know, have some sort of a laptop that kind of solves the, well, it's just Chrome OS. You need to be connected to the internet, so, you know, that has limited use for me because I need more. Or is Andromeda actually the next stage, the next phase of Android going forward?
I don't think it's the next phase or the next stage of Android. I think it's just an evolution of it. I think it has to evolve to remain relevant. So,
But this is a pretty big evolution, if that's
the case. This is a pretty big evolution, but I think Google's also trying to evolve to remain as relevant as it possibly can.
I think this also speaks to making devices that are for different audiences. If this is a productivity device, it's going to have different needs. And so maybe that requires a different flavor, you know, and they could justify why phones aren't going to run Andromeda, that sort of thing.
Yeah. Well,
Oh, sorry, go.
It sounds like a step in the same direction. Microsoft are taking the one operating system for all devices, and that scales depending on the context you're in. So the idea of having the same operating system in your phone that plugs in at your desk and suddenly becomes a desktop OS on the same memory processor and so on. Google are obviously taking it from the other side. They have two separate operating systems that they seem to be merging, whereas Microsoft started with Windows 10 as the one OS they were shoehorning onto the devices. It's two different approaches to try and solve the same problem. It will be interesting to see how it goes. Obviously, Microsoft have learned a lot more in the last few years. Google may have to go through that learning process as they try and come up with the same solution.
Right, right. So, okay, so this particular rumor, and mind you, this is all, you know, all this stuff could change, right? But there are, you know, multiple mentions of Andromeda in different places, you know, throughout, you know, they've been diving in the code, they see these mentions. Another thing that we know and that we've heard of is the possibility that we're going to see a Huawei tablet at the event next week. And now rumors are saying, okay, that tablet's actually going to carry the Nexus name. So Nexus as a brand, as a kind of blanket for developer-focused devices, not going away if that's the case. And that they are pretty much convinced, these sources are convinced that maybe not at the launch or at the kind of reveal of this tablet, but eventually this tablet will be the developer platform on which developers will understand and get to know and create, you know, compatibility with Andromeda. So in some way, shape, or form, that tablet is going to have Andromeda capability. Don't know if that's an update or if it's a total reflash of the OS over, you know, and I don't know. It sounds to me, because Wall Street Journal was saying that this is 4 years in the making, right? Like they've been, when they came out with a report last year, by the time 2017 rolls around, which is the time that we should see the Pixel based on this information, the Pixel 3, with this stuff happening, that's 4 years of development. Google has a lot of challenges with Android that it needs to fix and it needs to address. I think that an Andromeda, based on what we know right now, could possibly address a lot of those things. If Google's smart, then it will. It should. I don't know if it will, though. I hope so.
This rumor of the Huawei-made reference device is reminiscent of the good old CR48 reference Chromebook, which came out not as a consumer product, but as a reference Chromebook before the launch of Chrome OS. And Google used that and handed it out to developers at I/O, and it was the beginning of it. I wouldn't be surprised to see the Huawei device, the Huawei tablet, to be the Andromeda equivalent of that. And then at some point in 2017, we see the consumer product. If this rumor is true, it makes sense.
Well, it also makes sense because Huawei already makes a 2-in-1 tablet. So they already have the manufacturing line prepared for this. Yeah, it makes complete sense.
Now check this out, Brian. Is Hiroshi on the line?
Because he happened
to say, "Oh, hey, Hiroshi, how's it going?" He said, "We announced the first version of Android 8 years ago today. This was a couple of days ago. I have a feeling 8 years from now we'll be talking about October 4th, 2016." Okay,
hype machine.
However, that's a really bold statement. Like, I don't know if you just say that and throw that out every single event you have. You don't. You save that for good events. Like, that's a really great hype statement. I really wonder if we're going to see Andromeda in some way, shape, or form at the event.
That Google's inviting, like, a lot of hearsay. This is hearsay, says the journalist. But that Google...
Sources say
that there are a lot of... There are influencers who are being invited. So...
Okay.
Which is an interesting sort of thing to consider. Considering company is inviting influencers is because it wants people outside of the press realm to get like a look at this and to sort of like go crazy over it and then immediately sort of preach about it to their following.
In the past, has Google been pretty hyper-focused on just journalists in this regard?
Yes.
And so this is a big change.
It is. I mean, like, I've seen Marquez at the events, but I mean, he had a lot of sort of, like, cross... he would do a lot of cross-promotion with, like, The Verge and outlets like that, so it kind of, like, made sense. But I'm seeing, like, Google Plus posts yes, popping up of just, you know, influencers sort of mm-hmm. mentioning that.
Okay, so yeah. then maybe, I mean, could that be to say that the event is bigger than hardware?
This is complete hearsay, but I don't think it necessarily means it's bigger than hardware. I just think it shows a lot about what Google's trajectory is for this particular
ambitions.
Announcement.
Well, it's
precisely. the not the readjustment, but the you know, like, we keep hearing about this push mm-hmm. to mainstream and to consumer and that sort of thing. And if this is the event, then of course they're going to do that. That's going to be part of the marketing plan. So
yeah, that's partly why I brought it up, just because I think that it's interesting to look at it from that perspective and then sort of tie it back to, like, this tweeting that Hiroshi's doing. I mean, you know, it seems baity, but I think it's just a hint at, like, what's to come. And that's why it sort of makes me excited, because I think Android's going to become a bigger deal next year. I know we already said, but it's a big deal to us, but...
Right. But I think Google has...
It's
just. Yeah.
It's more than just a tech product now. It sounds as if it's going to be a lifestyle product.
Precisely.
Right.
Think about the marketing with the smartwatches, right? It's all about the lifestyle behind. You get the smartwatch that fits your lifestyle. Like, you know, you put the bands on it, like the watch face. Like, it's all about,
the
you know,
who you
are
as an
individual.
The fact that you're wearing it is proof of your allegiance.
Yes. And so, of course, we're talking about desktops. But anyway, sorry, Ron.
I was going to say, and that's a great little segue to the next bit of news that was leaked out. Prior, and this is the thing, like, I'm so excited for October 4th, but reading all these advanced, like, exclusives, we got the scoop, like, it's like finding your presents in your parents' closet 2 weeks before Christmas.
For sure.
But anyway, I was extremely excited to hear about this, because we got word that Google Home, the good folks from Android Police again, Google Home will be announced and will be priced around $129. Okay. And if you don't remember what Google Home is, that's the little air freshener looking device. That's actually, no, you got the Wi-Fi there up, Brian. It's the link above that one. So Google Home is going to be priced at $129. It's also going to release a new smaller router called Google Wi-Fi for $129. So, you know, they've been messing around with the router product with the, what was it, the On Hub, that product. So we see a new version, possibly a new version of that. And also the Chromecast Ultra is priced around $69. Which is the new version of Chromecast, which will support 4K video and HDR and things like that, which explains the higher price point. You know, remember Chromecast was $35. How could you say no to it? $70 is a little steeper, but 4K is a little more complicated. So there you go. And then also the little bit about the phones is that the color options for the Pixel phones will be very silver, quite black, and really blue, which are very clever.
Very
names.
Silver, quite but, black.
And really blue.
Really blue.
But I'm really excited about Google Home, not only because it looks like an air freshener, not only because it allows you to live with Google in your household as part of your lifestyle, as Flo was just mentioning, but also it undercuts Amazon Echo by like $40. Like, that's aggressive.
And I think it looks nicer, quite frankly. Yeah. I'm sorry. Alexa is not for me.
Well, it undercuts the Amazon Echo, the full-size one. The Amazon Echo Dot undercuts
that
further.
That little hockey puck. Yeah.
And that does a lot of the same stuff. Not all of it, but obviously.
Interesting times. The Amazon Echo launches in the UK tomorrow. I got an email today letting me know that my one shipped. I've already had a US one for about 8 months.
Mm-hmm.
But that puts it on time to be competing in Europe.
Gotta get it out.
What is the difference between the European Echo and the American Echo? Is it just language? Or?
Exactly. Oh, so it will be accents as well. So it took Amazon to do it. They also needed to build up their partner ecosystem to work with Echo. So the apps and services you have in the US are not necessarily the same as the ones we have in Europe. So they needed to build up that stable of partners and, in this case, Amazon Alexa skills to work in Europe. So they had people like Jamie Oliver, the Trainline, and other...
Of course they had Jamie Oliver.
Other brands part of it, including one of my former employers. So that was something they had to do before they could launch with a credible platform.
Mm-hmm.
Google, on the other hand, already have the Google Now integrations that feed into the Google Now. So, okay, Google, and you're ready to go. Everything is already there.
I,
I think that's what's going to be the big difference maker between Amazon Echo and Google Home. I think this could, if this launch goes well, this could be a big holiday gift. And we see, you know, a lot, I'm expecting to see a lot more movement away from the Echo and towards this Google Home. And then, you know, again, moving the Google brand into the lifestyle spot, which is looks like what they're going for. So I'm excited.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. It's also a bit early to write off Cortana, which is integrated in some Android's distributions. Mm-hmm. That's another digital assistant that's mainly voice operated.
Yeah, the Microsoft.
So it will be an interesting year or two going forward.
And some say Cortana is superior. So, you know, just that it's Microsoft and we just dismiss it. So.
She keeps asking me every day to use her. And I'm like, Why would I use you? My phone's right
very,
here.
Very needy.
No, she's little pop ups every time I turn on my PC in the morning.
Oh, hey, it's so good to see you. Hey, you want to use me?
Did you know you can use me for weather?
No.
And news? Oh,
fine. I don't want to give you the weather anyways. Stomps out of the room. Cortana leaves. Slams the door behind Cortana. Sometimes, maybe, I don't know.
Love is harsh. What can I say?
I like Google now versus Cortana. Are we ready?
I like how every third word just there was Cortana. Cortana slams the door. Cortana walks out. Cortana. All right. Well, talking about words, we got a video mail from someone who wants to have the final word on the nougat debate.
The nougat.
It's Jay from Tacoma. Hey, I want to let you know that my phone is working again. My problem was that it wasn't talking to me before, and it's been doing it pretty much, like I said, ever since the day after I sent you this video mail. But anyway, I have another question for you. Have you asked Google Now how to pronounce nougat? It's kind of interesting. Give it a try. Thanks, guys.
I have
talk
not.
To you later.
All right.
All right. Should we do this?
That's not only a clever approach to it. I'm surprised we didn't think of that.
I know.
But I also like how he clearly knows the answer, and he's going to watch us learn.
So, yes, yeah. he knew what he was doing. All right. So I'm just going to test. Let's see here. Because I think I have the volume up. I want to make sure I get this right the first. Oh, I didn't. I'm happy I checked. Okay, here we go. What is nougat?
Nougat, a candy made from sugar or honey, nuts, and egg white.
European pronunciation for the win.
Yeah, and it was very polite in correcting me.
Yeah,
it meant nougat, right?
Yeah, it didn't push up its glasses when it said that, or didn't say, "Well, actually, it's nougat." It just said nougat. You know, like I'm going to ignore your faux pas, and we're just going to tell you what it is.
We're just going to move along. I'll give you the answer, and next time you won't ask me that. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Google Now.
And, good job, America.
We tend to, take over things and say it's ours. This is how you pronounce it.
Freedom candy.
Anyway, Jay, thanks for writing it. Jay, if I remember correctly, his initial thing was about Google Now not talking.
Yeah, I remember that.
Not talking out loud. So it sounds like you got it fixed. So I'm happy to hear that. And now we know that we have to just say nougat. And all the people that email me whenever I say that and say, it's not funny anymore. It's not about being funny. It's just about being real.
I'm just not sure if I...
I know. I can't either. Hey, we've got a lifetime of saying nougat. It's hard to unwind that.
It's true. 30 years behind, you know, under my belt.
Go ahead and say it.
Nougat.
There we go.
But for him, it's...
That's just the way it's been.
Second nature, yeah.
That's life. That's Mateo's life, is nougat.
How do you say herb?
Herb.
See?
Herb.
There you go.
Really?
Wrong pronunciation check. Launcher?
Launcher?
No. Drawer?
Draw.
There we go. I guess we all have our things. Okay, let's thank a sponsor. Why don't we thank Grasshopper? They are the ones that bring you this episode today. We want to thank them for that. Grasshopper is a virtual phone system designed for entrepreneurs. Grasshopper works just like a traditional phone system, but requires no hardware purchase, no software installation. They have an iOS and an Android app, and using that, callers can reach you wherever you are. On your mobile phone through the app. Grasshopper allows you to keep your existing number so you can maintain your brand. And when you make a call, your client's going to see your Grasshopper caller ID instead of your personal phone number, even though it's on the same device. Simply select a toll-free or local number, record a custom greeting, and add multiple extensions for your business to make it look all professional and stuff. Toll-free numbers are actually really great for marketing and you know, marketing purposes and make your business sound more professional, just the fact that it's toll-free that you're offering to your customers. Set up department and employee extensions with custom call forwarding to any phone in the world. You can get voicemails emailed to you as audio attachments, so you don't have to leave the desktop environment. If you want to listen to those, just right there in your email. You can also send and receive SMS messages from your business number. Join the over 250,000 Grasshopper customers today. Plans start at just $12 per month, and you have a 30-day money-back guarantee. You can turn your smartphone into a business line with Grasshopper to save $50 on your order. Go to trygrasshopper.com/twit. That's trygrasshopper.com/twit. And we thank Grasshopper for their support of All About Android and the Twit Network. All right, we've got a mountain of hardware. I feel like every day is hardware day when we do this show these days. This is just the season. Good. It's the season. It's the reason for the hardware season.
This is why we're Android users. Yeah. There's so much choice.
I suppose so. Yes, it's strength, not weakness. Let's get to hardware. It was really hard to choose, Mateo, because you literally brought a mountain of devices, which makes me, I have to wonder what it's like to live with all those devices all the time. Like, well, how do you just, where do you put your SIM? Yeah, like, how do you choose?
Don't you get afraid? Aren't, like, every time you leave the house, aren't you like, oh, I got to make sure I have all 8 phones?
And
it becomes second nature. You feel them in your pocket. You know that if your trousers weigh anything less than 10 kilos, you don't have all your devices with you.
And how much is 10 kilos in American?
Sounds like a lot.
I have no idea.
I don't know. Sounds like a lot.
Google.
Yes.
10 kilos.
Yeah, the answer is nougat. 22 pounds.
I wonder if Cortana or Alexa will give us different answers.
Possibly within a few
In case anybody's wondering, 10 kilos is 22 pounds. 22 pounds. All right, go ahead, Mateo. Right.
Okay, 22 pound shorts.
First device I brought today is the new Huawei Nova Plus.
Hold it over.
Oh, yeah, there we go. So this is the Huawei Nova Plus. It's Huawei's new brand, which is part of a lifestyle series of devices that they are launching.
Another lifestyle. Yes. Another series of lifestyles.
And I think this was particularly a sign of the times that Android is becoming a lifestyle brand, because at IFA, I was at the press conference of the launch of this device, and we had a one-hour selfie masterclass given by an
influencer.
1 hour
on selfies?
Pretty much, yes. So the reason why is because Huawei have built some great software into this. This is a 5.5-inch device, metal body, similar setup to the OnePlus 3, if you look at it in terms of physical resemblance.
All right, here we go.
So we have a OnePlus 3 with a black front and a Huawei Nova Plus. Very similar, metal body. Good centrally positioned cameras.
Oh.
The fingerprint scanner.
Different
is
position
elsewhere.
Of this. The
is
this scanner,
the same curves on the side?
It's very similar. It is different.
Okay.
But the resemblance is uncanny. So these two devices are competing against each other, not only in physical looks and feel in holding them, they're competing against each other in price bracket as well. Obviously, the Huawei Nova Plus is a lifestyle device aimed at the average consumer, so they don't care so much about the specifications, the fact that it has 6 gigabytes of RAM or what processor it has. This runs with 3 gigabytes of RAM, a Snapdragon 625 chipset,
so
which
mid-range.
Is a mid-range device, but it's powerful enough for most users.
Yeah.
Anyone but the high-end gamer will notice the difference.
It doesn't look mid-range, by the way. It looks high-end.
Yeah, it feels
most
and looks
of them
premium.
In these
the fingerprint scanner is lightning fast. It's just
the one on the back.
Yeah, the one on the back.
It's the best.
It's very similar to the one in the Nexus 6P.
Is it pushy? Is it a pushy button?
It's not a pushy button as on the Honor 8.
Yeah.
It gives you your space. It doesn't rush you. It's not too pushy.
Come on, put your finger here. Come on. Come on. Put your finger here.
A bit like Cortana.
Very pushy.
Very pushy. Yeah.
But it's running Huawei's MIUI distribution of Android with their own features and things. And as I said, a one-hour selfie masterclass was the highlight of the
presentation. What did you learn? So what did you learn from your masterclass?
I learned that I have to hold the phone higher, not show off my nostrils.
Yes, that's important.
Try an angled view.
Yeah,
it's all very thing. But Huawei have done everything they can to make the software of this help you to take amazing selfies. So they have
preset... You sound like you work for Huawei.
I know.
Either that or you're very convinced.
I'm very convinced okay. because I have taken some very disconcerting pictures, not only of myself, but of Brian. Do we have that picture of Brian to show?
I hope so. So this is Brian, our technical director and sometimes news voice guy. Mostly news voice guy.
You know,
he was not actually wearing makeup, though, right?
He wasn't wearing makeup. Nope. So this is a new feature that is part of the Nova lineup, which makes it more of a lifestyle product than, say, the previous versions of Huawei's devices.
You can see your nostrils, Matteo.
Exactly. So I'm doing this wrong.
Yeah.
But we'll show off some pictures we took of Flo earlier.
That I took of myself.
So this is Flo with the... Which makeup selfie mode
was
this?
That was the nude mode, which is weird.
So there are lots of...
Oh, no, that was the cute mode. The first one was the cute mode.
Cute mode, yeah.
The next one was glamour.
Okay.
And then that one was... I don't remember which one that was.
It went over your face with a white marker and a blur tool.
These are all preset selfie makeup modes, which can be live.
And you preview them live, right?
So you preview all these different selfie modes.
Put on some makeup, Matteo. Come on.
I'll put on the most disconcerting one to me, which is club. So there we are.
Oh, that first one was club. That was the one that I was doing.
Wow.
Oh, so that's taking the selfie. We'll just go and preview that.
This is what we become as a society.
I mean, they do say the male gender is usually the most beautiful of every species. So
there we go.
Who needs makeup anymore?
No comments about shirts. This is the future of humanity. The amount of engineering time put into making this software and deploying it to the devices must have been impressive. You must have put a lot of work into this.
Well, no, because there's a crap ton of apps like that on the Play Store that do all the layover
face stuff. Yeah, I brought all of them into the arena at some point.
Yeah, I've been using them for years.
Well, this is all new to me, so I may have been one of the ones.
Is it enough to base a phone around? Or, I mean,
I think this is just the added feature that differentiates the Huawei Nova Plus from other Android devices, like the OnePlus 3. This is their marketing push. This is, I'd say, a competitor to the Honor 8 for the millennials.
Right.
Mm-hmm. This is what...
It's competing against its own self.
Well, they're sub-brands. So
right.
It's, I'd say, a slightly higher-end, more exclusive brand for the jet-setters who go to
I'm just curious
Fashion
if
Week.
It's marketed differently overseas, because we don't really have, Huawei Honor marketing here. So I'm curious how they market it.
So this is obviously going to be available in stores, subsidized by carriers. It will have a different marketing setup, but it will be aiming at the same demographic age groups. Obviously, this will be a slightly more expensive device.
Yeah, no price yet, right? There's no price available.
Priceless.
I don't think this one is coming to the US. This is a Europe-only device.
Yeah.
The chipset doesn't support US 3G or 4G. So I took my SIM card out of it because you can't live on 2G alone nowadays.
No, you cannot.
No way.
You will literally throw yourself off a bridge.
It's very, very nice device. It's fast. The battery life is very good. I've enjoyed using it. My full review of the device will be on coolsmartphone.com soon.
Excellent. What else you got?
So we're going from the high end to, let's say, the low to mid end of the mid range.
It doesn't look low end, though, from here.
It doesn't. So this is a sparkly golden device.
It's beautiful in person, actually.
From Xiaomi. Xiaomi being the top Chinese vendor of Android devices.
Xiaomi really nicely, by the way.
Thank you.
Just FYI. Sorry, go ahead.
So Xiaomi is the Chinese brand known for their... But affordable flagships such as the Mi 5 and the recently announced Mi 5S. This is the Redmi, so they're budget affordable devices. It's a 5-inch device with a 720p screen. It has a fingerprint scanner on the back. And the listeners or watchers who saw the last episode I was in studio will remember that I showed off the Xiaomi Redmi 3, which is essentially the same device in terms of chassis. The difference is this is running a different process, so it's running a Snapdragon 430. It has a fingerprint scanner, and it has the same camera, the same screen, all the other components are the same. So it's a lower-end processor that gives you better battery life, but it has a better GPU. So for playing games, editing video, it is slightly faster. And so for a 5-inch device with a 4,000 milliamp hour battery...
Yeah, that's, there's 4,000 milliamps in that?
It is, yes.
Right, and because it's a kind of a lower-grade processor, that's going to stretch even further.
Forever,
right? And I'm the imagining. 720p screen, it's the perfect recipe for a three-day battery life phone in normal use. So they have a very compelling product. It's around about £100, so it's $120 so for this device.
Turn it over, it's like...
So this is the non-textured finish. The one I showed off in February had a nice laser-edged texture on the aluminium. That's aluminium. Is that okay as a pronunciation check, Ron?
Yes.
Nougat.
Aluminium. Yeah, you pronounce aluminum nougat.
Nougat, okay. Exactly. Just,
yep. Yeah.
With a drawer.
With a drawer.
So this is it. It's running MIUI, which is Xiaomi's own Android distribution. In this case, it's MIUI 8, the latest version, which has a ton of new features. Like,
I'm not really a huge fan of MIUI. We're playing with it, but that was with the Mi 4, I believe. So that was a while ago.
So it's come on along since then, and Xiaomi have a very good track record in updating their older devices with new features in the operating system.
Nice.
And these devices sell like hotcakes in Asia and parts of Southern Europe. They're very, very popular because of the price. And
right.
And what look you're how getting. Pretty. Look what you get. It's so pretty.
Sure. It's a fantastic
I'll show device. It off over here and hold on to it a little. I'll hold on to the phone a little bit. It'll never let go.
But if you compare it to the Moto G third generation...
Oh, sorry, wrong side. I forgot.
It to the Moto G third generation, you're getting a lot of phone for the money.
Yeah, the Moto G is like, you can tell you're using a cheap phone.
Yes. So this is the Moto G third generation, Boise State.
Right.
I think Mets colors.
Look at this cute customization Mateo got. I love this. I'm really into
and
this.
And just for reference, here's a banana for scale.
Okay, excellent. This is important. We want only the highest standards. We do lots of speed tests as well as scale tests with bananas. Okay, so that I don't even know what that means, but there you go.
Oh, man.
So what else you got? You got the Obi World Phone MV1. Tell us about this.
So this is the latest version of the Obi World Phone. They're a 5-inch device.
Are you sure it's not a Nokia?
It looks like a Nokia 800, the very first Windows phone,
does.
Or even the Nokia N9, which was the Linux-based operating system that only had one device in its history, which was Mego.
Is that the correct one? I remember that now. Yeah. Wow, I completely forgot about that.
This is the Obi World Phone MV1. This currently retails for £79 in the UK, which is
probably like
close to $100.
$120 or something like that.
So it's very, very affordable. It's unapologetically plastic.
Can I feel it? Sorry, sure. I'm curious. You said unapologetically plastic, so...
It's plasticky.
That's plastic.
But it has some interesting design. So it has rounded corners at the bottom.
Oh, it's square at the bottom.
At the bottom, it's rounded. At the top, it's flat.
It looks like a U.
It does, and it stands upright. Oops.
Kind of.
Stands upright on its top. So it's an interesting plasticky design. It has a removable battery, dual SIM, microSD expansion. This is running on the lowest end chipset for a smartphone from Qualcomm. It's a Snapdragon 210 quad-core processor. It has 2 gigabytes of RAM.
It has a Snapdragon 210?
Yes.
So it has less power than some Android Wear watches.
Exactly. So this is a Snapdragon 210 quad-core processor, 2 gigabytes of RAM, and 16 gigabytes of storage, expandable. Now, for me, the selling point of this device is it's running Cyanogen. They have partnered with Cyanogen for this device. It's currently running Cyanogen 12.1, the Android Lollipop, Android 5-based Cyanogen, with promises of Android Marshmallow to come to it soon.
With promises of Marshmallow?
Yes.
That's comforting.
But for the price, for $79, it's undercutting a lot of Android One devices.
Right.
It has credible chops in markets where it will sell, such as the Middle East and Southeast Asia. It's an affordable Android phone, and it's surprisingly usable. So I've had my US SIM card in this during this trip.
Oh, really? Which one? What carrier did you put it on?
T-Mobile.
Okay.
So it works on 3G here in the US. I believe it, I've picked up 4G in the UK on it. So good device for the money, difficult to beat in the price range.
No kidding.
So especially when you compare it to, say, a Lenovo Moto G4 or so on, you're getting a lot of phone for £79.
We should compare this to the Moto G again.
Yeah, I know, right?
Again, 5-inch, 720p screen.
The Moto G to the side here. What is interesting to me is how the display, like the curve of the display, does not necessarily match the bezel, but that ends up being kind of a character quality to it.
As someone who's been working for companies developing software for phones, sometimes I've had my hands on reference devices before they've made their way to final production. This sounds alarm bells to me. The top edge looks like some Tizen phones I played with before release, or some Samsung phones that I played with before they were released or they started final production runs.
So strange.
Have you tried Pokemon Go on this phone?
I have, and it works fine up to the point where you get to battles.
Oh, so then it crashes.
Then it gets very slow and sticky at the battles. But for walking around, the battery life is good. It works quite well.
Nice. So the Huawei Nova Plus, the OB WorldPhone MV1 running Cyanogen, and the Redmi 3S.
Excellent.
And were you wanting to see the Xiaomi Mi Max?
I wanted to see this because it's giant. Show
it. Yeah, because we talked about this last time you were
this
on,
is
right?
Pretty. Oh.
So this is obviously my personal device. I have installed Action Launcher 3 on it. Round icons, maybe preempting what Google are going to announce next week. But for, again, £179, so just over $200.
Mm-hmm. It's a large device.
6.4-inch Full HD screen, 2 gigabytes of RAM. This one's running a Snapdragon 650 processor. Sorry.
No, it's okay.
It's a great device for the money.
And you have the Play Store on there?
I do. Okay. So this is a version that doesn't come with the Play Store pre-installed. But there are very simple ways you can follow to get a legitimate version of the Play Store on it.
Right.
It's slightly lengthy process. It's not for all users, but it's a good way to get an affordable phablet device which has an all-day battery. So I was using this at IFA, press conferences. I was live blogging. It was great.
How big is that screen again?
This is a 6.4-inch screen, slightly more than the Xperia Z Ultra, which I think this is the true successor to
I really liked that phone.
Big screen devices.
I like the big screen
devices. That thing looks really big in person. I mean, it looks big on video, and then you see it in person, and
so
it's gigantic.
So if you pass over the banana, we'll show it off.
Yeah, I think it's probably important.
It's actually a good, well...
Oh, man, it eclipses the banana. What is going on here?
It's bigger than the banana.
This is a strange world we live in. Phones bigger than bananas. That's bananas. Cool stuff. Thanks for doing the hardware roundtable.
Bananas ring, quite literal. Ring, 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 banana phone.
We'll eat that later. We've got a few other hardware stories to talk about. Ron.
Yes. So there was quite a bit of the hubbub in the social media world as somebody I saw over the weekend, everyone was talking about it on Twitter, and of course got picked up on all the blogs, that the Xiaomi Mi Box running Android TV was spotted for sale at Walmart. It's listed for $69. It's got 4K and HDR compatible. We saw this at Google I.O. earlier this year. And we know that the Nexus Player is dead. So if you wanted a good Android TV alternative, the Mi Box would be a good option that you can now supposedly get at Walmart. If you go to Walmart and see it, buy it and tell us how it is. There you go.
I know you're... Are you still big on Android TV? Is this appealing
to you? I
want to
be. I didn't get a Nexus player, and I've never really, you know, so it's, you know, I really wished that I had more time with it. I do like that the fact that this whole story came across from a loyal viewer of the show telling us on Twitter, and then it getting picked up by the good folks over Greenbot.
All over. They jumped on it. And then I also saw a lot of people have actually gone on into Walmart to see if they could find it. Many people find it on the shelves, but then when they try and buy it, they're stopped at the register. They won't let them complete the sale. And they're like, I think... And the people at the cash register actually don't know why, but they're being told when they try to ring it up that they can't sell.
We're going to have to confiscate
We can't sell you that device that we have on display for sale.
There.
So it's very strange. Very, very strange.
But, sir, how will I watch my Netflix?
I mean, it was there, dang it.
Ma'am, have you considered a Roku stick?
But this is good. This is Xiaomi and Google admitting the fact that there is this enormous market of Android-based set-top boxes you can install your media software on and stream from other devices, other storage, and other places, content from other places. And it's a credible competitor to the Amazon Fire TV as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what I usually sometimes hear, like, from friends? They'll say that, oh, the app is so much better on Android TV or whatever about, you know, like, little
mm-hmm.
apps.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. There's just not a lot, there's just not a lot of pickup on Android TV right now.
I'm still on a Roku 2.
I mean, I feel like I should be on an Android TV, but I offer my PS3 for any of my new stuff.
So years ago, I set my sister's household up with the Google TV box, remember, with the DVD player, the Sony one. But now it's getting slow and all that sort of stuff. So I actually got them the Amazon Fire Stick because they're an Amazon Prime member and it's got Netflix and Hulu and all the things they want. And it's great, except for that dang little dongle overheats like once a week.
Ooh.
Oh, and if you go online and look, a lot of people are having this problem. There's this whole like DIY, take the cover of the Amazon Fire Stick off and then get a heat sink and put all this stuff. And it's like, no one
needs
to.
Wait a minute, it's a Fire Stick and it needs a heat sink.
Yeah, I know. Think about that.
If it needs that, Amazon needs
That's
to be doing that.
That's too true to marketing. Come on, Amazon.
Yeah. So check this out. Snapchat, or Snap Inc., actually, now as they are known.
Is that what it's called?
They are Snap Inc. One of their products is Snapchat. One of their other products is a new camera glasses thing called Spectacles that shoots.
They went in the thesaurus and they went, Google Glass was taken. What other word can we come up with?
Shoots circular video, 155 degree wide angle lens, 10 to 30 second recordings. So it's 10 when you first fire it off. If you want to extend it, like Google Glass, you touch the button again. That'll extend it another 10 seconds, up to 30 seconds. Works directly with Snapchat, so it doesn't work with anything else. It's a Snapchat utility. Let's see here. Video is transferred to Android by Wi-Fi, but by Bluetooth to iOS. I'm not entirely sure why, but I guess on iOS they can choose to send it Wi-Fi to their phone if they want higher res upload. Comes in black, teal, and coral colors. It'll be available this fall for $130. What? Okay, so I'm dying to know what you think first, Flo.
Oh, I totally
on the Snapchat.
Totally want a pair. Because first of all, let me tell you why. Hold on. Good reason for this. Yeah. Look at the glasses. Brian, can you put it back on the glasses just for a second, please? Sorry. I caught you off guard. I caught Brian
off guard. Let us see these glasses. Wall Street Journal.
Look at this handsome man in his handsome glasses. Those are really nice. And they're styled kind of the way that sunglasses are styled now. Kind of what's in vogue, so to speak.
So did they learn from Google Glass's failing of looking ridiculous?
Yeah, because when Google Glass teamed up with like Diane von Furstenberg, whatever she was doing was a little too high fashion in the sense that it wasn't very like mainstream. It was kind of like, do you have a lot of money? Would you get these? You
know, and that was behind the whole Google Glass thing. It was expensive from the onset. All of the high profile CEOs and the upper management high profile folks in Google, they were wearing it. So it kind of had this, even though it was targeted at developers, it still had this allure of the way we're going to make it cool is to show you how all these people in fashion are wearing it and to show you how we're always wearing
it.
It just didn't work.
No, this is so much more relatable to sort of like the common public, and Snapchat wants to be relatable to the common public. So it's going to release something that lets you very easily broadcast your life to the world. And that's what we use Snapchat for. We make stories of our day. Like, you know, if you have a busy day, you make a story of it to sort of help you get through it, whatever. You share it with your friends watch it. You guys talk about your story the next time you meet up. Like, it completely makes sense. It's just another way to keep in contact with your friends, right? I just really like how practical the glasses are. I think they look really good, and if they block out the sun, it's even better.
They look good. They still have that kind of silly quality to them,
right? Of
course,
because they have a camera on them.
Exactly. But that's just kind of the point, right? I think they were super smart to do this in a way that records video that is isolated to just the glasses. Mm-hmm. You can't record this type of video with your phone. And I think what that does is users of Snapchat, end up seeing this very special type of video in the Snapchat interface, and they're already going to know how it was done. It was done with the glasses, and
it's the
right crowd for this particular product, I think.
What color glasses should I get?
Le millennials will be all over this. And I also look forward to seeing...
Le millennials. Very nice.
I also look forward to seeing the ecosystem that builds up around these glasses if they're successful. So think of the D-brand skins or the Toast skins you'll be able to put over the glasses. Mm. People customizing look and feel
making
of them.
Their own fashion statement. What do you think, Ron?
I think that it's an interesting direction I didn't pick up from. I think that they've learned a lot from where Google Glass failed, and if they can iterate and make it a consumer-facing product with all the millennials on the Snapchat, I do think that that first-person view, there was that movie that came out a couple of months ago called Hardcore Henry, where it was all, you're watching the movie from the view of the guys, he's running around. It's extremely jarring, and I don't know, yes, that's a great little promo video, but I want to see it actually used in the real world. And see if it's not vomit-inducing.
Yeah, I mean, it's like a GoPro that you wear on your face, essentially, that records short-form video. And Evan Spiegel, in his interview with Wall Street Journal, one of his quotes was, the first time I used it, I was hiking. I can't remember where he was, hiking in the mountains or whatever. When I went back to look at the footage, I realized I wasn't watching a video that I recorded. I was watching my memory of the experience. And you've heard me on this show say that same exact thing about the Google Glass. It was the thing that I loved about Glass, is that when I put it on, I recorded video, and I wasn't recording video. I didn't have this wall in front of me and the subject, and I was living life by looking at the screen. I was connected with the thing that I'm doing. And then when I watch it after the fact, it was like watching my memory of that thing.
And you didn't have to worry about hitting record. You hit record and then you just like let it go. You didn't have to worry about, are my angles right? Is the exposure right? Is the phone doing
what you just fire it off and live your life and then enjoy it later. You know, I think it's super smart.
I do too. Gosh darn it.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's super smart, but it's all going to come down to the execution, as it always is. You know,
Right.
And when it gets in the hands of users, what they do with it, if the users react positively and they embrace it, it'll do well. I think having the outlet of the Snapchat app as a place to publish those videos is going to be a huge boon to it. So
yeah, and there is a light, by the way, on the front, so it tells people who see it when they're recording and when they're not.
Good.
I don't know if that'll be hackable or not. Someone will probably figure out a way to do that.
And whoever but does that's that, another by the way, learned. Is a despicable person, because you absolutely should tell people if you are filming them. That's not
people,
okay.
Of course, it's not.
That's why the
internet,
shutter sound
people push the boundaries.
Cannot be disabled in Asian countries.
Yeah.
Please don't do that.
Don't do that.
That's
but
gross.
People will, unfortunately. All right. You did something really cool.
Cool.
Tell us about it, because I was there. I was there this weekend, and I meant to do it, but I was with kids, and that derailed me, so I wasn't able to do it. What did you do?
Yeah, so last week I went to a Six Flags Media Day here in Vallejo, California, and I got to ride the Kong ride with my buddy Jeff. I brought him along. He actually used to work at Six Flags when he was younger, so I kind of wanted some of his like input on the ride and sort of, you know, how it works with the VR experience. They strapped a Samsung Gear VR to my head, and I played a game while riding an upside down loopy roller coaster at 55 miles an hour.
Oh my goodness, I want to do this so bad.
So this is the beginning of the ride, and this is us going up, about to launch. We're not going to show you the whole video because wrote this up. There's going to be a feature going up hopefully tomorrow on AndroidCentral.com.
Did the goggles stay on throughout the course of the entire ride?
Okay, so this was my second run on the Kong ride, which, by the way, this is called Rage of the Gargoyles, this experience. It's built on any of the Six Flags roller coasters, so it's kind of different depending on the coaster that you take. On this coaster, it was really freaking hard to handle.
Whoa.
Yes.
And so there's a game quality to this? It's not just a passive like experience. You're
he just took the helicopter pilot out of the helicopter, and now it's up to me. I'm basically falling.
Ah! Oh my goodness, I want to do this so bad.
And that's me screaming.
Oh my goodness, this okay, so did you feel like you were going to throw up?
So bad.
I mean, people have the whole I'm going to throw up when I'm in
I'm
VR
screaming
thing.
So bad, because I'm trying really hard not to throw up.
All right. Maybe we shouldn't show anymore, cuz we got to save it for
the... It's actually making me a little nauseous.
Save it for the article,
this.
But Oh my god!
Would you do it again? From that.
Would you do it again?
I did it three times.
Okay, so you probably wouldn't do it again. I did it many times.
Very good. So they're using Samsung Gear VRs. By the end of the run in the Californian heat, were they warm?
That's a really good question.
No, they're not, because you're flying at 55 miles an hour.
Okay.
So and up there, it's like it's not that bad.
And you're using your own phone?
No.
No, they give you.
I had some misinformation about that.
Okay, all right. Because I did bring the S7 just in case. But
I didn't understand if you use your phone that you can download the app, or if they give you a phone. I'm still kind of unclear about that, and checking on that. That's why the article isn't up yet. I'm still doing some fact checking. But the experience itself is just kind of weird, because the problem is the Kong ride that I rode on is already super harsh. So, and then strapping VRR to your face, and you're basically riding the ride blind.
Can you choose to ride the ride without the VR?
I did the last time because I wanted to know what the ride was like without it. But the thing is, I rode right after I was very queasy, so it didn't really help. It was a very difficult day, and then when I went home, I basically passed out for 2 hours. So exhausted.
VR hangover. Screaming.
And then, and my friend Jeff said it too. He said when he actually went to work. I mean, I went to work too, but I work from home, so I can pick up later. He actually went to work immediately after that. I dropped him off, and he said he felt he was hungover. He said what really helped him was a quarter pounder from McDonald's. But
that's what helps me when I feel like I'm about to throw up after
a roller coaster hangover. So he said a hangover food really helped. It was really exhausting.
Yeah,
it was very difficult for me to handle. My body did not, And I used to ride roller coasters like crazy when I was a kid.
Getting older's tough.
It is, guys.
That's a lot of stimulus. It's a lot of the movement plus what you're seeing, and that gargoyle was horrifying. And I think it's a cool merging of it, but why couldn't it just been you're going bobsledding or something, change the environment?
Why
does it have to be
violent? Bigger, better, faster. And actually, some of the other rides that they have in Six Flags around the United States, they're not all the same ride. So this was, I forget the name of the roller coaster, but this roller coaster is the one where your feet are hanging in the air. And in the roller coaster in Chicago where they have this, I believe it's called the Demon, you're sitting down and you just have your hands up. And I would have much rather played the game doing that, because I didn't have all the added stimulus of my legs are hanging. I have no idea where my legs are, what I'm flying through. I have to completely trust the situation.
Trust that your legs aren't longer than the average person going to hit that bar as you fly through.
The older I get, the more paranoid I get that, God forbid, something bad's going to happen to me.
I'm a tall guy, and we were at Six Flags this weekend, and one of the roller coasters that I went on with my daughter did this really, there's a track like this, and you go under it like that. And every single, we probably rode that thing 10 times because the lines were pretty short on it, but every single time I'm like, I'm really tall. I could hit my head on this, right? I shouldn't try, but I'm really curious. Liability.
That's why you should put a Gear VR on, and then you don't even see that.
If it happens, I'm done. I didn't see it coming.
Anyway, the full experience, it should be up this week in Android Central.
Excellent.
We have some background info and how they did the engineering and calibrating the sensors. So
that's cool. Yeah. That's very cool.
It was very fascinating. We'll see if my friend Jeff had made a joke. He's like, I really hope they ordered sawdust to put underneath the ride.
Okay, let's move on.
Moving on to apps, Brian. it was a quick transition. Quick transition. All right, Ron, go.
Yes, so Jason, as you mentioned at the top of the show, a mere hour and a half after we finished the show last week, Google rolled out Allo to be downloaded by the masses. The long-awaited messaging app was available for both iOS and Android. And it comes with a bright, shining star of the Google Assistant preview functionality, and a whole lot of gut punches of it falling just a little short of what we hoped and dreamed it would be. So basically, I'm sure everyone who's watching has done this, but to those who haven't, if you install Allo, it registers with your phone number, and those conversations are tied to your device with that phone number, very similar to how WhatsApp works. A lot of people had a problem with this, because basically, if you have multiple devices,
You can't have the you can't have Allo functioning across devices, which is crazy. But that's how it works. No direct SMS
Don't
support.
Do that again.
yeah, thanks. No direct.
Was I not supposed to do that?
Well, no. For some reason, I'm seeing stuff that I shouldn't be.
Sorry,
seeing.
I was trying to help thanks. You.
No, I appreciate it, but yeah,
I did not.
Anyway.
Help.
All right, I'm
let, me
show
through, my... let me get through the functions. Come yeah, on.
Get it, get right, it, get
so,
it.
So the app's got no direct SMS support. It is not an SMS app, very similar to WhatsApp. And it has a bizarre, weird thing that if you text someone, you can text anybody with a phone number with Allo, but they get a weird relay message from Google that at first was showing a five-digit number as the sender, and Google now claims that it has been adjusted to show your phone number, but people are having mixed results with that. So very weird in terms of how it handles SMS, yeah, which is upsetting. And mobile first, so no desktop client yet, but that might come later, but a lot of people wanted a desktop client. I know I do. I love my WhatsApp desktop client, and I wish I had that. And it does have an incognito mode for private chats. And the other interesting thing, how the app is tied to your phone number and your device, the chats are stored locally, so they don't move between devices. So if you change your device, get a new phone, you won't have the chat history, which is something that WhatsApp does have, the full chat history. And then, of course, we expected to see it bundled to Duo somewhere down the line. But that said, we've had a week to play with it. What do you guys think of it? Mateo, have you played with Allo? What do you think of the Joker tools that Jason's using?
I have played with Allo. I'm already using it to speak to a few friends who are in the Android ecosystem, both as developers and enthusiastic users. It seems to be good fun. So the automatic or suggested replies to people seem to be quite handy. The other fun thing is actually speaking directly to Google Assistant, which is built into Allo, and getting some responses from it. So it's an easier way of searching the web. If you're already in Allo as an app, rather than exiting and going to Google, you can do your searches or ask Google Assistant for answers in the app. So if you, for example, ask it something such as, who is Leo Laporte?
I just asked it something.
Oh, you did. you asked Google, how do you pronounce Nougat? And the Google says, I found this video. And I will go ahead and play it, to which it says,
Nougat, American Nougat.
Oh, see, it covered the gamut. Okay, it said them all. I hadn't heard Naga or Nougat.
What I found most impressive, hold on, Jason, is the, you did it. I was going to say the suggested texts. Based on your conversation, in this case, it just asked to say, "What about chicken nuggets?"
Nugget. How about? Is it going to do it? It's okay. Fine. Take a really long time.
Nugget.
Thanks. That was a lot of way to go to not really get much of anything. What about cheeseburger? So now apparently, what I'm in is like this pronunciation.
You're in a food loop.
pronunciation of food loop right well, now. That's what it thinks.
Ask what you should do with your life.
We actually wait. Hold on. We just subtly discovered a problem with the assistant because I said, "How do you pronounce nougat?" And it came back with a video of how to pronounce nougat. And then the suggested thing was, "What about chicken nuggets?" Which I don't think it's asking how do you pronounce chicken nuggets. It was actually suggesting chicken nuggets as a food option, I think.
I don't know. Well,
sweet, savory.
I mean, all
maybe if it would tell us what it was thinking, then we wouldn't have to guess. Yeah. Come on.
I don't know. We
communicate.
What do you guys think? There is no. I mean, what are the shortcomings? The whole security aspect is a little lacking here. Google promised more at I/O than they delivered when it finally released. As far as the conversations outside of incognito mode were supposed to be, stored in an unidentifiable, more or less sort of way, and they backtracked on that. So you've got that aspect. Edward Snowden's saying don't use Allo because it's incredibly insecure.
Snowden is saying that.
He was very upset the day it came out, by the way. But no, I think it's interesting because I think much like Duo, Allo suffers from an MVP go-to-market strategy where they put out the most viable product they could to get it out within the timeline that they announced at I/O, and maybe it's half-baked.
It's,
like, I get the feeling like it's not quite done.
I agree. But this sort of thing is not easy, especially when you have millions of users. You want to get as much data as you can, and they might change the product as they go along. It might not be what they promised at Google I.O. They might find out the users want something different.
And when you think about it, like, you know, and I keep saying Allo is not a Hangouts report. You know, it is directly WhatsApp, Facebook Messenger, iMessages. It is data-based messaging. And WhatsApp has had a head start of how many years? Like, they've evolved that product to a point of elegance now where it works and it gets the job done. I think the biggest testament for me is it's a week that Allo's been out, and three people have messaged me on Allo: Jason, Flo, and my friend Alberto, and that's it.
And all, you know, all kind of around preparation for shows and like, let's use it to get to know it and everything like that. For me, it's daunting because I feel like I've exhausted my, okay, now it's time for us to move over here card. You know, like, I don't have any more of those options anymore.
Jason, that was exhausting years ago, Jason, years ago.
Wait, Jason, let me send you a text message. Jason, let me send you an email.
Exactly.
My problem is that my phone now has a folder of messaging.
I know, that's like my that's my camera. It's ridiculous.
Somebody actually commented on my Facebook
folder full of apps for messaging for different people in different contexts.
Slack is the new one now.
So I've got Slack, I've got WhatsApp, WeChat, Telegram. They're all there.
Yahoo. You're using Yahoo Messenger.
Jeez. There are still people using Yahoo Messenger.
Yeah, I mean, that's the trick, right? Everybody's using something different. So if you want to talk to them, you have to have that thing that contacts that one person installed.
Call me on the phone, people.
And
it's too expensive.
I don't know.
The great thing about these services is they're all data-based.
That's funny, because here voice is like super cheap and data is super expensive.
Right.
What, Rum?
Sorry, Rob.
Well, I was going to say this kicks off the problem, which is that when we look back at the book of the past 10 years and mobile app development and things like that, we blew messaging. And I say we by everybody involved: Google, Apple, Facebook, everybody. In the scramble to own users and things like that, what made SMS so great was that it was a open protocol that was used no matter what phone you had. You had a phone number, you could send a short message, and it worked. SMS is over 30 years old, right? That protocol is not changing or getting fixed in any way. And instead of trying to work together to create a protocol that will work across the platforms, you've got Apple making iMessages, screwing everything up and giving you blue and green text bubbles for iOS users and all that sort of stuff. You've got WhatsApp, which is data only, and people complain about that because they don't have data plans. And like Flo just mentioned, we completely blew messaging, and I really don't think we will ever see it fixed in my lifetime. I think it's just always going to be fractured, and you're going to have a folder like Mateo where you got to keep track of how you contact a person, which is maddening.
Yeah, it is. I agree.
But that's what the OnePlus 3's 6 gigabytes of RAM are all about.
There it is.
Managing all of those
messaging.
Thanks, OnePlus 3. So one feature that Allo does have, and you talked a little bit about that, Ron, is that if I'm on Allo and I'm messaging someone, in this particular case, I'm messaging someone on Android who is not an Allo user. In other words, their phone number is not registered on Allo. My request, my message to them through Allo is going to be sent to them in this sort of SMS relay method.
Yeah, I mentioned that.
But right. But how that appears for the user is it appears in this like over the top of whatever app you're receiving, a toast message of sorts, which kind of looks a little spammy, whatever. It has buttons for install the app, ignore, or simply reply. And if you reply, that's going to send via SMS. Not through your SMS app. It's going to send through this like relay sort of thing. So it's kind of weird. If you are a developer of a messaging app and you also want to do this, Google has app preview messaging that is rolling out. Google's opening it up to other developers to use to encourage that preview functionality and get new users on board. Early access program for select developers right now, but they're expanding it over time, and it's specifically meant for messaging apps. So, you know, we might see more of that. I don't know how I feel about it. Like, I get it. I get why they did that, and I get the idea behind it being a useful way to encourage people into one app, let's say. But, yeah, it just kind of feels a little spammy to me. I don't know.
Yeah.
Agree? Motion carried.
Motion carried. Agreed.
Excellent.
I think messaging is difficult.
I think
at the end of the day, the Google Assistant integration makes Allo really interesting, but they've got a lot of work to do.
Yeah. We have some emails also about Allo.
We do.
You are up first.
We do. Hello, AAA team.
Hi.
Since Allo only works on one device, can you recommend something that will allow me to get my phone notifications on other devices, mainly an Android tablet and an iPad? Thanks, Russell Thomas. Well, Russell, we, of course, give you our default answer for this sort of question, which is PushBullet, and that's because
They're working on it.
It works. They said that they are working on this precise feature, that it's coming. So maybe that's incentive for you to sign up for a PushBullet subscription or wait for PushBullet.
Yeah. hopefully that will
work. PushBullet is great. I gladly pay for my subscription. That happens. I can't live without it.
Yeah. And so hopefully that'll be around the corner. The developer at PushBullet says that they are actively investigating that. Dave also wrote in to AAA at twit.tv and says, as with most new Google apps, I love Allo. The fresh message app UI and having Google Assistant built in is awesome. But I know the likeness that Allo will catch on with the masses is small, frowny face. Google needs an already popular messaging platform to integrate Google Assistant into. Snapchat passed on a Google acquisition because the CEO thought his company would be worth more in the future. I think Google really needs to be willing to pay anything to get its assistant technology on a popular chat platform. Which is sad for Google Plus.
Well, what's funny? Yeah, well, that's true. It's sad for Google Plus. But I was going to say, what Dave has the concept right. I agree with him in theory that Google needs to get the assistant onto a chat platform people are using. But in the way business works, they're going to want the chat platform to pay for it. They're going to want Snapchat to pay for it, not pay Snapchat to use it.
Yeah.
And so it'll never happen.
However, Google is interested in buying Twitter. We heard last week. So who knows? Maybe Assistant will be built into Twitter someday.
Wait, I heard yesterday Disney or Google?
Disney is also looking at it. There are a lot of companies interested in Twitter because Twitter is basically saying
Twitter.
They're
I'll
on the
give
market
you $20.
Yeah, I will give you more than that. Twitter. I'm gonna beat you to Twitter if you're given $20.
I don't know if you think you're gonna get it because it's a deal with $20. It's a lot of headaches for $20.
That's true.
But yes, Twitter has a serious problem with DMs. Direct messaging in Twitter is lacking. It's often slow, delayed messages. Mm-hmm. So Allo might be the perfect messaging system for Twitter.
It could go after trolls. I noticed that you're saying something really mean to somebody. And also racist and mean.
This is wrong in the cyber.
This is wrong.
Right. All right, so there you go. Allo, let us know how you feel about it. AAA at twit.tv. You kind of already are, but I think everybody...
And if you find anything like super cool that people just aren't really talking about with Allo, like send us a video message.
Yeah.
I would love to see it and, you know, give me a reason.
Give me a reason
because I'm trying to get into it. And
I feel like it's our duty to get into it, right? Because we do this show. But then at the same time, like I just don't want
to
move all the people outside of what we do here.
I only use it to talk to you guys and my fiance.
Yeah.
That's exactly the thing. Like Duo, like my dad called me on Duo because he was excited about it. Like that's a average user, but nobody on Allo. And that has me worried.
Yeah.
You know, it's a cause for concern.
I don't think anybody knows it exists, to be quite honest with y'all.
It's still early days. It's what, a week and a bit old.
Well,
do you know how many albums Beyonce sells after a week? Okay.
Who is Beyonce?
Beyonce is like the Facebook Messenger of chat apps. Like, there's already tons of people.
She's the queen. Anyway.
So she's related to Freddie Mercury. Interesting.
This guy.
I'm going to rope it back. I'm going to rope it back. Let's dive into the arena.
So many enter, but only one lives. Android Arena.
All right, last week, bit.ly/AAAvote284, and who was the winner? Tell me a calculator won. Yes? No. No.
Wow. I'm actually really surprised about that, guys.
Pluto TV wins 47% of the votes.
So now I know when I'm up late not being able to sleep watching Pluto TV, there's at least a bunch of you out there sitting up and watching Pluto TV with me.
Yes. Pluto TV is apparently very popular.
I'm over cable, man.
Yeah. Me too.
Once again, I came in second. I'm noticing the trend that I tend to come in second a lot.
Always the bridesmaid, never the bride.
And briefly to touch upon the standings, Jason and I are tied in last with 8 wins. Flo is in second with 10 wins. And the guests, represented by Mateo today, are still winning with 12. So but it has been several weeks since a guest has won. So I don't know what kind of goat magic you brought to the table, Mateo, but you got a big job ahead of you.
Well, I had to have a subtle goat reference.
That was loud.
There was a subtle goat reference, but we'll get to that when it's my turn.
Excellent. All right. Subtle. Subtle and you does not work together. Nice. But anyways. Okay, so my app is actually a game. If you liked Crossy Road, the creators of Crossy Road have created some pretty awesome games since then. And one I've been playing lately is called Rodeo Stampede. So I'll show you this one really quick. It's very addictive, as you can expect, because Crossy Road was too very addictive. So I'll turn up the volume. I didn't think to get the audio kind of plugged into here, but... So I've got all of these stables, basically, of all these different animals that I can ride in the rodeo here in the Stampede. I'm going to blow out into the play space. You are riding animals, and you can walk around, and you can only stay on them for a certain amount of time, at which time you have to let go and then rope something else and continue on. So I'll let go. I'll get on that one.
This looks so fun.
And you don't want to run into trees, but you can run into little bushes and everything, and, you know, there's little... kind of challenges that you're given as you go along. I didn't get to it in time. You can get coins and all that kind of stuff, of course. I just ran into the side. As you go along, different kind of more exotic animals come along. They have different traits. They might be faster, or, you know, they might be super fast, but you can only stay on them for a small period of time. And as you kind of go along and kind of build up these things, I'm going to turn it down, you create these stables to kind of train them to do better things. Can you stay on them a little bit longer before they get wild and throw you off, essentially, or that sort of stuff? And I don't know, it's just the gameplay itself, when you're on the field kind of moving the thing around and hopping from animal to animal, is super satisfying. Well, unless you run into rocks like I keep doing. But it's an enjoyable process. And, you know, I mean, it's a fun game. They know how to make really addictive, interesting games. And I think the name of the company is Yodo Leo, maybe, or something like that. So it's very close to you, Toto Leo. What is it?
Jason.
Yodo 1. Okay, maybe not that close. Anyways.
Key question. Have you come across goats in the game? I see there's elephants, bison, zebra.
I don't think that I have, but I bet you they're in here.
I have to.
Guaranteed they're in here. I will put my money on it. It's a lot of fun. Rodeo Stampede, Sky Zoo, Safari. It's free. Of course, there are in-app purchases if you want to go that route, but I don't. I never do, and as far as games are concerned. And I wouldn't recommend a game that hinged entirely on those either. So Rodeo Stampede, check it out. Ron, you are up next, and I think
yes,
I have it installed.
Did you install it?
I think so.
Okay, you're going to have to log into Instagram on it, so maybe you do that while you control it.
That might be a challenge. Okay.
So this is actually an app that I saw just this morning and quickly scrambled to change my app for the arena because I thought, good, this is something that we need. We were talking about Snapchat earlier. A couple of months ago, Instagram rolled out Stories, which was the very Snapchat-esque functionality where you could post photos and videos that expire after 24 hours. And basically, it was mimicking the Snapchat functionality in Instagram. Everybody got all raised, you know, got all crazy about it, then moved on. I've noticed, and we talked about this a couple weeks ago when Josh was feeding the show, more and more people in my feeds are using Instagram stories now than using Snapchat. Snapchat has dropped off a ledge. And so there's all this great activity going on with Instagram stories. But the problem is that all the photos go away in 24 hours. And I hate that. Sometimes somebody takes a photo that I want to save, that I want to see again. Well, thankfully, a developer by the name of Liam Cottle made an app called Story Save. And what you do is you just log in to his app with your Instagram account. It uses the Instagram API. And then you get a list of everybody that you follow on Instagram. And then you get a little indicator in the a little red dot of how many new posts they've made to stories. These are only stories posts. These are not Instagram posts. And then what you can do is you can hit the little download button in the lower right-hand corner. and you can download the video or photo locally to your device. And you've just saved Phil Nickenson's bacon frying story. So
can't wait to watch this later.
Exactly.
food porn.
If you hit the upper, if you hit the hamburger menu on the left side.
Let's see here.
Yep. So you can go to save stories, and that's where you can see and access the stories that you've downloaded. Now it looks as if the app just came out and the developer's still working on it. So if you wanted to take this video and move it to another place, you would think, oh, hit the three-dot menu in the upper right. Hit that. Nope, not the share button.
Oh.
Overflow.
Nothing here yet.
Yeah, so he's still working on it. But you can hit the share. You can hit the share button and then share it to Drive or to wherever, or text it to somebody
or post
it now. Yeah, exactly. And that will work just fine. That's how you can export it out of the app. If you can go back to the main menu, Jason, the app is free to download in the Google Play Store, but it does come at a cost. He's got ads running along the bottom, and also every now and then a video ad will pop up, which is kind of annoying. But if you go to get add-ons, you can pay $2.99 in an app purchase and unlock, remove all the ads, support the developer. It's an independent developer doing this. This is a great little bit of functionality. Snapchat has the ability for you to save snaps. You should be able to do it on Instagram. I'm sure Instagram probably will at some point, and thus rendering this app useless. But for now, you can download Instagram stories with StorySave.
Hmm.
And that's my story.
And boom, ads have been removed. Enjoy the $3, developer. excellent.
That's a cup of coffee.
Oh, there's my, okay. And there we go, no ads. Hey, it's true. Yeah, there's Brian. What just happened?
Oh, look at that.
It's very meta.
I've never done a story on Instagram. So.
You have now. I'm going to save it. That was really good.
Don't dare
one.
Leave me from Snapchat, by the way.
I get so much more interaction on Instagram than I do on Snapchat. It's crazy. So that's nice. Because I'm probably not a millennial. So
probably.
I also don't do makeup or take selfies.
What?
Ron is just describing me right now.
Little millennial.
Story save. Excellent pick. I like it. Mateo, you are up next.
Okay, then. So I've brought the A game for Team GG&G.
You have.
Which is Gina, Guests, and Goats.
Thanks.
So yes. As I mentioned, there may be subtle references to goats here. My app is called Two Health App. So this is maybe not the best example of a native Android application, but it's a handy app if you want to maybe live a slightly better lifestyle in terms of the food you eat, the drinks you drink, and the exercise you do. So it gives you a guide to food, yoga, and general lifestyle tips and tricks. The app is very simple. At the bottom, you have a nav bar that gives you options for food, and it has a series of recipes organized into categories. So you have things like salads, vegan and vegetarian dishes. There's 47 recipes there. There's meat, fish and seafood dishes, smoothies and juices, desserts and healthy snacks. And it gives you instructions on how to prepare those recipes and gives you all the different categories that are built into it. You can also set favorites, which will go into your favorites section of the app. So just generally a very useful lifestyle app. The app itself, as I said, is not a glaring example of a good Android app in the design language and how it works, but the key thing here is the content itself. So it gives you, for example, in recipes, fresh goat cheese salad.
So good.
Oh, jeez. Bravo for working it in.
Good job. Now I want goat cheese, yes. Like, in my mouth.
So it tells you how long it takes to prepare it, how many people it serves, the ingredients you need, instructions on how to prepare it, and tips and tricks on that. That's just in the food section. Then, obviously, there's yoga. It gives you options of watching videos on how to do your yoga moves. It also gives you a glossary of the most popular yoga poses. In the tip section, and this is particularly interesting to me, it has various lifestyle tips. We'll just wait till this loads. Things about your daily routine, what to avoid and not to avoid, and what you're eating. But if you scroll down, the thing that interested me, apart from drink more water, is your travel tips. So if you're someone who travels often, who spends a lot of time on planes or has jet lag, there's tips and tricks on how to be a healthy traveler. Now, obviously, I do my best not to do yoga on planes, but that is one of the tips and tricks. So once you've read through all the content or the bits you like, you can set them as favorites, and you'll have a folder of your favorites. So I have three favorite recipes. I don't have any yoga positions. Maybe this is for you, Flo. And I have 11 tips on what to do when traveling and to drink more water. So, as I said, not the best app in terms of the UI and how it works. It sometimes can be slow on cellular connections, but the key thing here is the content itself, the videos, the recipes, and the content. So it's a lifestyle app. It's got yoga, food, and goat's cheese recipes. So I think this is in the running to get a vote for Team GG and G.
Well, I mean, you got the goat in there, and you are a guest.
Thank you.
What am I missing?
Gina. We'd need to call her on Duo.
And who do we have on the line? It's no, we don't. We didn't pull that off.
Ring, ring, ring.
We're all waving to Gina.
Yes. Excellent.
So that's Two Health App. It's $2.99 in the Google Play Store. And it's continuously updated with new content. So there's new recipes.
Where does the content come from?
It comes,
by the way,
from a lady called Iveta, who lives in Bulgaria at the moment.
She's Bulgarian.
And it's a great app. So Iveta, full disclosure, is the wife of a former colleague of mine.
Look at this. He's shilling.
And that's what the disclosure is for. So, but apart from that, the content itself is excellent. It's very entertaining. It's also good tips and tricks for healthy lifestyle, eating and cooking.
I have done yoga on a plane before, by
have
the way.
You? Yeah. Good. I just wear a onesie.
Jeez. The number two health and app, all one word. Two health app. Moving on. Flo, you are up next.
I am up next. I'm getting all these serious text messages too, so I'm going to try and not. I'm trying to figure out how to demo this for you guys. I'm sorry about that. So my app is called Dango. And my camera's over here now.
Yeah,
my app is called Dango. And, you know, for those of you who are just trying very hard to connect with the millennial in your life.
Dango! Right?
No.
No. Okay.
But I do like this app. So, you know, there are emoji keyboard out there, but I don't really like them because I don't like the swiping and the, you know, autocorrect mechanism. I like to use the stock Google keyboard, but sometimes I don't want to look through all the emoji. So I have this cool app called Dango, which is installed. So it's installed right now. Okay. And now, you know, let's say we're talking about, I don't know, a monkey. Why aren't you working? I think it only works in a messaging app, actually.
Oh.
Sorry. All right. So this app will basically... Hold on, let me...
Demo fail.
I know. I'm so sorry. Demo fail.
I've had that happen before, though, where I'm trying to do something and then I go into it. You go into, like, keep or whatever.
All right.
So that you can keep the personal information out.
So Dango is this little guy. He lives in your system. And whenever you're typing something, and if it's emoji related, the little emoji would come up. Monkey. Monkey. You have to spell it right, though. Your little monkey.
Oh.
He just came up.
Dango.
I'm sorry, this is so hard to see.
I can see it. This is
monkey.
Far off in the
and
distance.
And then, you know, maybe, you know, I want to talk about a monkey wrench.
Wrench?
Okay, maybe wrench is an emoji.
Monkey.
Tool.
Goat.
Cheese.
Maybe it only works one time.
Come on. You were working just fine earlier today, and now you're making me look like a chump.
Oh, man. It happens.
Okay, hold on. He's not supposed to make me look like a chump. Why aren't you working?
Dango. Seriously, Dango.
No. Okay. We're just going to... Okay.
Dang.
Okay, look.
Come back.
Look at this test one I did with Eric today. There we go. There's nothing bad on it. Chocolate.
There it is. It appears.
Chicks.
There you go.
Okay, and now I want to add more. more emoji. My goodness. Then you can just tap on Dango and he'll go, oh my goodness. He's trying to guess what you're going to say next. So he's showing you the next emoji he think you might say.
What comes after chicks?
The rooster.
The rooster, of course.
Very location important in Petaluma. Yes.
Eric, if you're watching this, please do not text me back right now. Anything. More chicks.
Man, there are chicks all
There's
over
also
the
Giphy
place.
Integration.
Okay.
For some reason, it brought up BFFs.
Oh.
So if I want to send him, you know...
A BFF.
Oh, my. It gets a little...
Careful.
Yes.
There's different packs
that you can... Oh, yes, this is a Hello Kitty Giphy. There's different packs that you can customize this with. I don't know why it's giving me search term for booty.
Is it artificial intelligence?
I don't know if it knows that I'm texting my fiance right now because.
Well, I mean, chicks. Chicks is a word to base it.
That's true.
I think that as like
also brought up
a beginning word peach, might paint it a little bit.
Yeah. So yeah, it guesses emoji for you and kind of helps you like bring the conversation along with emoji. Oh,
here you go. It's begun. Don't do do do.
So Dango, he's a little guy. He lives on your system. You can customize him. Here's the app, by the way. If you just want to look over really quickly, I'll just show you. You can practice on here. So he lets you practice and look through like the Django pack. So I can download Pokemon pack, which is kind of neat. So it's a fun little app.
Nice. Dango. And
your emoji assistant.
It's free.
Talk to the millennial in your life.
That's right. Okay, so what I actually needed to do, and instead I was entranced with Dango, is I actually need to post this.
So sorry
this,
about the demo fail.
Which I have done. And then it will go to AAA vote 285 and it should work. Okay, go
it's,
to
it's working. It's working.
Bit.ly, man, that was quick. Okay. bit.ly/AAAvote285. Place your vote. Is your favorite thing today? Is it Rodeo Stampede, Story Save, Two Health App, or Dango? Vote. Place your vote. We'll check out on it next week. And that's it. I think we're spent.
We are spent.
I think we've done a lot of talking. And now it's time to contemplate this show with beer. Mateo, the courtesy of Mateo, who filled the refrigerator with beer. So thank you for doing that. Well, let's go drink it now.
Thank you for having me.
Always a pleasure getting you on. We will get you on again here in a little more than a month. But yeah, man, anytime you're in town, just buzz on over. Don't mind the smell of cow manure outside.
It's because it's really hot.
Yes.
That's why.
And Petaluma gets a little stinky in the hot, sunny days. It's just
bucolic Petaluma is the highlight of the holiday.
Yeah, it's the Petaluma Roma, as it's referred to around here.
Sonoma Roma. It is
the Sonoma Roma. Yeah, there we go. That's better. So coolsmartphone.com. Anything else?
My Twitter profile, and if anyone wants to know a bit more personal details about me, MateoDoni.com.
Excellent. At TotalLeo on Twitter. Thanks again, Mateo.
Great. Thanks for having me.
Hello. What about you?
Well, you guys know I will have my write-up of my VR roller coaster experience on VR Heads and Android Central this week. And of course, doing usual bout of words and writings at AndroidCentral.com. And of course, you can follow me on the internet, on Twitter at OThatFlow, and on Snapchat at OThatFlow.
Oh, that flow. What about you, Ron?
Real simple, RonXO on Twitter. That's all you need. And then mentally preparing for the onslaught up to October 4th. You're going to see a lot of me and Jason, I think, on Twitter.
Yeah, sorry.
I think my next spot is tomorrow for This Week in Google, right?
Yep. We'll be doing Twig tomorrow.
Ron's
we're doing a lot of podcasting
brand.
Together these
We are. We're the podcasting bros. But so watch This Week in Google tomorrow, and then next week we'll be talking about Google stuff. And now I'm going to go to Williamsburg to go see Beach Slang. So,
excellent. I know you got a bolt, so if you got a jet right
thanks,
now.
Ron. Okay, no, have fun with the hipsters in Williamsburg.
Rock out.
Thank you. Brian, real quick, what about you?
Well, I don't have a camera, so I'm just going to talk here. I'm actually going to New York over the weekend for Maker Faire, so nice. Maybe we should try and meet up, Ron.
Say hi. Hit me up.
Aw, sure. You guys should get burgers.
But if you want to follow the behind-the-scenes stuff that we're doing for that special, follow me on Twitter at @cranky_hippo.
Excellent. Thank you, Brian. About.me/Jason Howell, yellowgoldmusic.com for music stuff. Yes, like Ron said, we're doing coverage, live coverage of the event next Tuesday, October 4th, is it? October 4th, 10 a.m. Pacific or 9? I can't remember.
You know what? Just get up at 6.
Yeah, and just look at your Twitter feed or your Google Plus feed. You'll see. Anyways, we're going to be on hand. Ron, myself, and Stacey Higginbotham will all be here covering the event. Ron's going to be on TNT that afternoon. We got All About Android that night. The next day, I'm doing Twig. We're going to be talking about this event for like 2 days solid.
And next week is also the Oculus.
What's that?
There's like an Oculus.
I'm going to that on that Thursday.
I'm also going to that.
Nice.
We should meet up.
Excellent. Sorry, we'll be there.
And Ron,
I'll be back home.
Oh, wah, wah. Well, we'll save an Oculus for you. How about that?
Thank you.
We'll ship you one. I doubt they give them out at the thing, but I'm hoping. No, that won't happen.
I don't even know what to expect.
Yeah, neither do I. That is it for this week. Leave us a voicemail, why don't you? 347-SHOW-AAA. You can send us an email or a video mail. We'd love getting the video mails. Keep it coming. AAA@twit.tv. We're at Android Show on Twitter. We are twitaaa.reddit.com on Reddit, of course. Show notes and past episodes always can be found at twit.tv/AAA. You can also find our episodes in YouTube and on iTunes and all over the map, Pocket Cast. And you can catch us live every Tuesday starting sometime around 5:30 p.m. Pacific at twit.tv/live. That is it for this week. We'll see you next week on an important episode of All About Android.
So important.
We'll see y'all later. Bye,
most
everyone.
Important.